Get a load of these wrestling nerds. Together, they've completely wasted a huge portion of their lives watching, enjoying, analyzing, loving, and hating pro wrestling. They're a couple of pro wrestling losers.
Hey! Wait.
Lifers. Pro wrestling lifers.
That's what they are.
Here's JR and Moose with the Pro Wrestling Lifers Podcast.
A lot of pro wrestling going on. What is it, 12, 13, 14 hours now a week?
Yeah, and it feels like every week we're opening up the show with, oh my God, how much wrestling did we consume in the past week or so?
I honestly can't keep up.
It's not possible.
I can't keep up. I tried as much as I could this week, but life happens.
Absolutely.
But man, a lot of things went down this week.
Yeah, including the Firefly Funhouse getting burnt down.
It burnt to the ground.
What was that about?
I don't know. We have to talk about that.
We also learned that the OC does not get along with really anybody, but particularly the Street Profits.
Yeah, and I love that. We got to talk about that later, too, because that feud seems to be pretty cool looking.
There's going to be some good tag matches out of that.
I think you're going to see probably the best promos come out of that, too.
Oh, yeah. Also, we're going to talk, who are the winners and losers of the WWE draft?
Talk about a new spin on the draft. How cool was that? How bad was it? Did you like it? Did you not like it?
Watching it, I just really wanted to be a part of the Fox War Room. They had the robot slapping high fives with everybody. Right. I have no idea how they pulled that thing off.
Did you know there's an anniversary for two things?
Yeah?
In WWE that are huge to me.
What?
I'll tell you later.
All right.
One involves the man.
Oh, okay. We have new Raw Tag Team Champions. And a little bit of the bubbly was spilt on AEW Dynamite this week.
All I could say is I'm a big fan of the bubbly.
And you're a big fan of the bubbly. I'm a big fan of the Bayley.
Holy crap.
Which I think is the biggest story in wrestling this week. New look, new nastiness, new fight to her. And the gear, it's just coming out, destroying the Bayley buddies.
I know.
What was that, a pitchfork?
We should have had a funeral for the Bayley buddies.
We need one.
Well, she came out with, what was it, a sickle or something?
Something.
Is that going to be part of her ring? Like, is she going to bring that to the ring all the time?
All of a sudden, under the ring, it's like, oh, Triple H gets the sledgehammer. Hey, Bayley has the sickle.
Right. She's going to cut limbs off.
Oh, my God. But how cool was that? I jumped out of my seat. And I freaked out because we've been talking about this for quite a while. What if Bayley actually could pull this off? What if she actually could go full badass and have like this new macho madness thing about her with the black gear?
Right.
And just cutting off the hair was such a drastic change, cutting off the side pony, that it makes it super believable, man. I am blown away.
Well, you knew when she walked out the door, it was...
And a new theme song.
A new theme song. Well, that's coming, I think, because I don't think it was on SmackDown, but it's coming.
Yeah.
That kind of previewed it if you dive into wrestling like us nerds that we do.
Yeah, way too far.
We found it online that they have something different.
Yeah.
It reminds you a little bit so far of like Dolph Ziggler when he kind of did the scratch.
Right.
But I don't think they're done with that. I think when we get to tonight's show, we're going to see... And I bet you she's the first thing you see tonight on SmackDown Live.
You know what? I think that's good speculation. And I just have to say real quick, screw all of you.
Here's the thing. How long have as a fan, have you, not just as a Bayley fan, just as a fan.
Yeah.
And I think maybe I can talk for everybody over the age of 10 wanted Bayley to turn. How many opportunities were there for her to just fully get engulfed? And we've never, ever seen this side of her before.
Yeah.
So it's not like Hogan turning. It's not like, you know, Macho Man turning and things like that. Not even close to that. But it's something we want to see.
Yeah.
And
well, I think it's because people genuinely get behind Bayley because I think Bayley has this really rare quality about her where she feels like one of us. She feels like a super fan that made it. And I think people can relate to that. And I think people get behind that because it's like, look, if Bayley could do it, maybe there's a shot in the dark that I could.
I love the symbolism, though. She comes out. She's the champ.
Yeah.
Did she win it that night? No, she won the title back.
Right. After the pay-per-view.
After the pay-per-view hours before, basically. Yeah. Not that long. I mean,
who saw that? That was just an excuse to get Charlotte to 10 title reigns.
You think so?
Come on, man. If you think about Charlotte, the single greatest female performer in the history of pro wrestling, but if you think about it, she's had 10 title reigns, and I don't even remember how long she's like held the title.
Well, that was probably her shortest, one of her shortest reigns.
Well,
because
yeah.
Her and Sasha Banks tossed it back and forth all the time. No, but she came out, she stops, backs up, kills all the buddies with this sickle thing or whatever. Yeah. I was like, oh, crap.
And she has the black gear with the gold trim.
Well, and that's the thing is, I always bring my wife into this because anytime I say something, she knows it's a big deal. Because I don't, you've watched me watch pay-per-views before.
You're usually kind of quiet.
I'm very quiet unless I'm just jacked up on Mountain Dew or something like that.
Right.
Then I'm really into it. Or if it's WrestleMania,
yeah.
You know what I mean? So when watching this happen, I was like, oh, crap. and she was like, what's going on?
That could mean many of things.
She looked up to the screen, and the first thing that she saw, not being a wrestling fan, was, oh, I love what she's done with her hair.
Oh, my God.
You know? So it was like...
Oh, well.
It was an instant... You know, it's just like Sasha. She's changed her hair color.
Yeah.
She's done this. I think... And now she's obviously going to be on SmackDown.
Yeah, drafted.
And Charlotte was drafted to Raw.
Yeah.
So there's no way that she can contend for that.
Nope.
But there is some things about the draft. We'll get into that later.
What do you know that I don't know?
No. I don't know anything that you don't know. It's speculations that I get a wild nose hair and it runs wild.
Gotcha.
But the whole thing with Bayley changing, I thought it was finally time. I thought it was very cool the symbolism that they had on it. And bad on WWE for giving Charlotte the belt, but just to give it back to Bayley,
it made it worth it with the transformation.
But with the transformation, they had to give it to her.
Oh, yeah.
They had to make her the champ. And I loved every bit of that.
Same.
I loved every bit of that. I was very happy.
I was retweeting everything.
Did you, when you first saw her go heel, so to speak, or when you first got the vibe that, uh-oh, This is something new.
Well, it was just immediately when I saw her come out and I saw the hair. I was like, this is it.
Yeah.
Like I stood up out of my seat. I said, this is it.
Let's go.
What's about to happen? It was like when Hogan came down and dropped the leg on Savage.
Right.
It was big time for me.
Well, it's not as big time as what we're going to get with this whole Braun Strowman
Tyson Fury
thing.
He punches the table in half.
The whole thing with that was kind of fun. I mean, they had the press conference on SmackDown. Monday night, they come out. They do the contract signing, which no hands are going to get thrown.
Right.
Even though Jerry Lawler stole the show.
Yeah.
With one thing. It was like, they started getting up, and he was like, ooh, I'm out of here. I mean, it was like,
I'm out. See ya.
It's kind of like the referee when the last ring busted.
Yeah.
He stole the show. It was, the ring busted
his
was
reaction.
Cool, but his bouncing off the ring.
Yeah.
Watch Jerry Lawler again.
Yeah.
Priceless.
That's good stuff.
But no, it was, with that coming up, and they couldn't do anything else, but man, they made it fun because they had Tyson Fury acting like he's... Like he couldn't break the pen, and like, oh, whatever,
yeah,
it's going to go down.
And then when he leaves the ring, the fans are like, damn it, I wanted to see those guys throw down.
But is it going to be that good of a spectacle? We talked about this with Mayweather, Big Show.
How great was that match?
I mean, you're talking about David versus Goliath as well. You're talking about two big guys throwing hands. A lot of times, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
I'm not really looking forward to it. I'll tell you that right now.
You know what? I kind of have to piggyback on you for that one because I'm not either. I just think they're just doing it for the sake to have a celebrity involved in a match.
At Crown Jewel.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, the hype over it is kind of fun. I think it's a great idea and I think Fox is bringing this, competition's bringing this, where you're bringing in new elements of mainstream America, into WWE, which I think they have to. They have to take advantage of, you look at those Fox promos where they're, how basically WWE is bleeding over into mainstream America.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Like the Daniel Bryan chants at MSU Stadium and things like that.
It's crazy because even people that, would never really reach out to me about wrestling in the past, a lot of people are kind of getting about it now.
Well, it's the same product. It's the same product. You've got good stories and you got bad stories.
Totally.
One bad story could be the Bobby Lashley thing.
I think that's a good story.
You think that's a good story?
I think it's entertaining television is what I think.
Here's the thing. Attitude Era, it was one thing.
Yeah.
I was a certain age during the Attitude Era.
Same.
I liked those things.
Same.
I'm a little older now.
Same.
I don't know if I'm appreciative of them or not.
Really?
I don't want it to go to the Katy Vick portion. I think the little sexiness is fine.
Totally.
But I don't want to be feeling like if a kid comes in the room.
It's uncomfortable. It's like,
oh, this is uncomfortable.
Right. No, I totally see your side of the story on that. But I also kind of look at it like this. Any other TV show, any other, you know, daytime soap opera or even movie is going to have that kind of same risque appeal.
Dude, have you watched the Spanish soap operas before?
Yeah, only when my mom's not home.
If you go down to the, there's a little Mexican restaurant right down the street here. During the day, if you go eat there during the day, at least the last time I was there, they had the TVs on, and it was Spanish soap operas or soap operas from Mexico.
It was a little spicy.
Whatever. Whoa. I thought I was watching Cinemax. You know, Maria. I was like, oh my gosh.
Maria.
I couldn't stop. I was like, can I have some more nachos?
Yeah. Can I get some water over here?
That's funny. No, but this whole story with Lashley, you know, oh, I like my ankle rubbed hard.
Jesus.
Deeper, all that. You know,
it's designed to be a little bit uncomfortable. It really is.
To me, it's not uncomfortable. It's not uncomfortable to me. It's to the point that I hope they don't go past this.
Right.
This is pretty close to the edge. And plus the story's interesting because
it's making you really get behind Rusev.
Rusev and Lana are totally married. They live here in Nashville and we haven't seen them online. The last time they tried to do this kind of storyline was
they wound up getting engaged.
Well, and they busted up the whole story basically. So I don't know if this is, I don't know if you know this or not, but Vince McMahon holds a grudge.
With who? With everybody. I don't know. Vince
McMahon. Come on. He held a grudge for Ted Turner until he bought WCW.
I don't know. I think if Ted was looking for a job right now, Vince would hire him.
Well, I'll tell you this.
I mean, there is a position that's open now that Eazy-E's gone. Eric Bischoff was canned this week.
I know.
And what the hell happened?
One of our favorites was hired in his place.
Bruce.
Dude.
I love Bruce Pritchard.
I think what's happening is, you know,
was it just not a good fit?
I don't know.
I didn't
read too much into it because Bischoff will tell you don't work out.
Bischoff will tell you. He's like, look, I wasn't very caught up with the current product, so to speak. So it was going to be a learning curve for me to get back into it. But I guess WWE wasn't, they didn't want to wait. They wanted results now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you should have given that guy the time.
Well,
I'm a big fan. I'm a big supporter of Eric Bischoff. I love Bruce Pritchard equally as much. He's one of my favorites. His storytelling.
I kind of like Bruce a little bit more because he has a sense about him. For crying out loud, I mean, he put some of the biggest things
together. Produced them all.
The Montreal Screwjob was kind of him and Cornette's idea.
Right.
You know, and
if he doesn't want to do business, we'll do business for him.
Right. I have nothing bad to say about Bruce Pritchard.
Nope.
But Eric Bischoff.
What's going to end up with him? Is he just going to go back to his home in, you know, Dakota, Wyoming and kind of just live life?
Do you think he needs to do anything?
I don't think he needs to be involved in wrestling. I think this was a really exciting.
He's a really good singer, too.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I
saw him on TNA singing songs?
No, I know he has his own beer.
What?
Yeah, he has his own beer.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. It's named after some like. In Wyoming, there's some sort of folklore about some coyote guy or I don't know.
Oh, I thought it'd
Coyote
be like,
Jack, maybe something like that.
I thought it'd be like Russo's Tears or something like that.
Gosh, don't drink those. Results may vary. But yeah, I'm going to miss him. I don't know if he is going to, you know, this was kind of like out of the blue. Like nobody saw this coming.
Right. And is it public knowledge at this point?
Yeah. So where does it go from here? He actually addressed it a little bit on his podcast, but I'm waiting for like the full rundown. He referred to the lead up of SmackDown on Fox as Hell Week. He said it was nearly impossible to work with them.
I would imagine because there's many overlords now.
Yeah, I mean, we've worked with people that are just way too hands-on. Imagine that, but with a network like Fox. Like, good gosh, man.
And I think until they start to see some results, they're not going to back off. They're totally going to continually push. And
they have over $4 billion into this.
I think with the pushing that they're doing, though, they're creating some really good things. I mean, yeah. SmackDown was good this week. It wasn't the debut WrestleMania episode, but it was still really good.
Yeah.
Things I didn't get, you had the draft, you know. The things I didn't get, like
Joe Buck and Troy Aikman,
but
those are Fox personalities, so I get it.
Well, but they had all kinds of other personalities too.
Yeah,
like, you know, on Monday night they had Al Roker.
Yeah,
you know, doing his thoughts on the draft, even though it was like 30 minutes after that draft pick actually happened.
Right,
some snafus do occur. But what'd you think of the draft?
You know, I was. All in all, I'll say that I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I thought it was fun. I liked the idea of network versus network. I thought that was a great spin on the draft. I really like seeing inside the Fox war room and the USA war room.
Did you think it was too much like football, like wrestling, you know, like wrestling fans couldn't get into that? Or do you think that was more of a play towards people that think of, oh, it's a draft, it's going to be like other sports teams?
No, I think they nailed it right on the head. I think that's everything you would expect, rather than just a person sitting in a room by themselves. You got all your executives around you, all your coworkers, and you're trying to wheel and deal, and you're trying to make the right pick, and you're hoping that your guy or your girl falls down the board. Like, I've watched the draft for the NFL draft, I can't even tell you for how many years. And that gave me the same kind of thing, even if it did come across a little bit like everybody in the war room was just hired actors.
Right.
I don't know how. I still don't know how they were slapping fives with that Fox robot guy.
The robot's real, dude.
I don't understand.
Yeah.
He obviously lifts weights with Braun. We saw that.
My favorite reaction was when they didn't get the pick, like when somebody else picked The Miz.
Yeah.
And everybody's like throwing their...
come on!
Throwing their boards over and their pencils in the air and stuff like that. But I think it was entertaining. It was a bit of a stretch for me, but I think it was entertaining. I love the ticker at the bottom.
Yep.
I think they did it on SmackDown. I don't remember seeing it on Raw, but they had the ticker, you know, first pick, all right. This other stuff.
And what I thought was neat about it is it wasn't just, all right, you get the first round pick, you know, say Raw gets the first one, SmackDown gets 2 and 3, Raw gets 4, mm-hmm. like whatever like that. What I thought was kind of neat is they split it up into pools. So who was actually draftable on that show?
Mm-hmm.
So then it was like, oh, wow, we're getting like multiple first rounds. So it's even more exciting than just one round of an NBA or NFL draft.
I think you have to do that because if you actually did have a first round draft on SmackDown, you know, all your big ones are gone in the
Brock,
first three rounds.
Becky, Seth, you know, Roman.
Then your first round pick in the Raw is going to be Liv Morgan,
right.
King Corbin, those kind of things. So
I thought that was real cool. I like how they split it up into pools, and yeah, I mean, I just there's part of me that wanted to see like a certain superstar just get passed up on over
right.
and over and over again, and then for that particular superstar to just hold a grudge, right?
Right.
And I'm gonna prove everybody wrong. You're gonna regret when you didn't draft me.
Well, Mr. Irrelevant or Miss Irrelevant, Liv Morgan.
Yeah.
There's a lot of speculation going on with her. Have you seen some of this yet?
Not really. I just saw that she was the last pick.
Well, she's...
At least she got drafted.
Right. I watched this video the other day, and it's from this guy called Wrestling Days. I don't know his name, but that's his thing. He was really big on the Firefly Funhouse,
mm-hmm.
decoding a lot of this. Apparently, there's speculation now that Liv Morgan is going to be a part of the Firefly Funhouse.
What? Is she going to be Sister Abigail?
I don't know. I don't know if she's going to replace the puppet that's there now, or Abby the Witch puppet, or she's going to be an actual, you know, character, or if she's going to be sucked in somehow. But she's tweeted out things like, she tweeted out the numbers that basically were decoded in the word help.
Right.
Then she tweeted out, should I? ? And it was around the time that, you know, people were talking about let me in and all this stuff.
Let live in.
I don't know if this is accurate or not.
Let me live.
Or if it's just huge speculation, or if it's just Liv Morgan, you know, hey, she was the last one drafted, but at least she was drafted. Cesaro.
What was that about?
You know, and some of these other major league players weren't drafted. I mean, nobody got Kurt Hawkins. What the F?
Yeah.
What's up with that?
I don't know. See, that's the thing. It was weird.
But, you know, the thing with
some of it left you scratching your head, but all in all, I think...
Like Titus O'Neil.
Yeah, I think they executed it well.
Titus O'Neil's pick? What did that... Yeah. Who did that do for anybody? I think what you got to see...
did something for him.
Well, it did.
Got him a job.
It raised his profile a little bit, but I think what you saw in the draft when it comes to Andrade, I think he was in the first round or second round. So I think what you're seeing is here's their plan of these are going to be your major players really soon. The OC was way up there. Yeah. Andrade was
And what was
up
cool
there.
Is they got drafted as a faction.
Right.
So like... Come on, dude. You get three for one pick? You can't beat that.
And we didn't get to speculate on really real deeply last time we're on about who we thought would be where and where they ended up.
Yeah, we just ran out of time last week.
A lot of these things, too, were more or less kind of predictable, especially the first round. You know Brock's going to SmackDown.
My buddy Joe brought it up to me, actually. He's like he was on the actual website, right? And it was showing you the list of everyone draftable.
Mm-hmm.
And for pretty much the whole first hour and a half or so of Raw, every single person that got drafted was in order as how they were listed on the site.
Really?
Yeah, so he sends me a voice message. And he goes, hey, if this continues the way it's laid out here on the site, I don't know if anybody's caught this or not, but so-and-so is going to get picked, followed by so-and-so, so-and-so, and boom, he was correct every single time until finally it changed.
Titus O'Neil.
Yeah.
Hurrah, hurrah, hurrah. Where did that come from?
Yeah.
But no, in the draft, I swore that we would see my favorite new tag team, Rudolph, split.
Ah.
But... Monday Night Raw, they were actually drafted as a team, but they lost the Raw Championships because they're going to SmackDown. Obviously.
Totally.
So, but what do you think about the new champs?
I like it.
Viking Raiders.
Yeah, I think
experience.
I think it's deserved. I think it's time to, you know, let's see what these guys can do with the titles. Let's see what kind of matches they can put on. We already know that they're considerably badass.
Right. And if you look at, you know, we went through... With this draft, it brings up a lot of bad memories of wild card, the superstar shakeup, and all this other stuff. They're promising that they're going to keep things straight, but we already had, you know, Friday, Firefly Funhouse, and everything was drafted to SmackDown, but they were on Raw on Monday.
Yeah.
Is that now official?
I think so.
Is it now?
Well, because you have to think, like, the draft was spread out between those two shows. So I think after it concludes, this is when it's, you know, brand specific.
I'm a stickler for details.
I know. One of the things that I want to know, I'm really curious as we, you know, progress in this podcast, is to look back at this episode and who was drafted where and when they were selected, and then see who was the biggest draft bust.
Well, and I'm trying to see here too, like what.
Because it's interesting because in this draft, a lot of them are already proven commodities. If you're looking at something like the NBA or NFL draft, it's boom or bust factor, right? Because they've never played a snap in a professional league.
Sure.
So with the WWE draft, they're more or less proven commodities with the exception of some. But I'm really curious to see who's going to be the one that jumps off the page that was drafted late and becomes the next Tom Brady, whatever, or who's going to be the next Jamarcus Russell of the WWE draft.
Well, I think you still got your big players that were drafted early, and I still think your mid-cards are going to be your players. Like your Dolph Ziggler wasn't picked until, like, what, the last round in Raw or something like that with Rude. But Buddy Murphy, Cedric Alexander, some of these guys that were drafted earlier, you're going to see some big play out of
absolutely.
These guys.
And we're going to see a lot out of Andrade, too.
Drew McIntyre, who's hurt, was in the first round.
Yeah, which I thought was really good because it shows that there's some stock into this guy.
Yeah, huge stock.
Because you have to think, like, as impressive as he is, and he's always good on the mic, he's always good in the ring, I feel like there's always been a little disconnect with the audience and with the viewers at home. And I think him getting drafted as high as he did, it puts high expectations on him, but it also shows off to the audience that this guy can be a major player and, you know, that network believes in him.
And you know who else is going to be a major player? Eric Rowan. I think he's really made a name for himself. I think that he was drafted early. I think you're going to see more of him. EC3, not so much.
EC3 needs Dixie Carter. Seriously.
But you remember with the Superstar Shakeup of the draft, I don't feel like things are top heavy anymore. Like we looked at the draft and we went like, okay, what about your tag team division and SmackDown? It's huge, but there's nobody on Raw. Well, I think they've corrected this because you've got, I'm looking it up right now, you've got the new champs, but you've got the Usos on Raw. You've got the
OC. Usos weren't drafted though.
But they're on. They're listed up here as Raw.
Gotcha.
So maybe they're...
See, the interesting thing is...
After the free agency, so to speak.
Yeah, so maybe they were picked up as free agents, but I know they weren't drafted. And I know people were like... I had some listeners of the podcast sending me some articles about, hey, why weren't the Usos drafted? Is it because he got a DWI? I'm like, well, he got like three or four of them.
Right, right.
And it's, you know, you can't, those are character issues. You can't draft people with character issues.
But with the new tag champs, you do have more tag teams. You have a pretty even amount of tag teams that you can have, like Ryder and Hawkins can come in there. You've also got, are you going to see Connor and the Ascension actually do well now?
Right.
So I think that you've got a good stock of players. I think we're going to have a lot of fun on Monday Night Raw. Plus, you've got the Women's Tag Team Championship.
Absolutely.
And if there's anybody that's, you know, all those tag teams have got to come here to play. Or they're going to start on Raw, but they can be defended on SmackDown as well.
I like that.
The thing
with those
is if they lose the titles to somebody from SmackDown, like at Survivor Series, the titles go to SmackDown, but the players stay here.
Yep.
That I love.
Because they were specifically drafted to that show.
But that sets up pay-per-views to be very important because you probably maybe might see a tag team championship on SmackDown between Raw and SmackDown, but you're most definitely going to see it at the pay-per-views.
How excited are you to see Survivor Series build as Fox versus USA?
I think that just feels
so big to me. It feels like it feels cool. It feels like an exciting, you know, time to be a fan.
Yeah. You basically just summed up everything. What's going on right
now?
It's a great time to be a fan. Plus, not only with all this wrestling to watch, we have all these superstars. Almost, it seems they're coming all back at once from injuries.
Yeah.
Like we were talking about Liv Morgan, some rumors there. But Ruby Riott is still on Raw. So that's Women's Tag Team Championship. Sarah Logan's still there. Is she going to get involved? Because she's been, you know, online as a Viking.
Yeah.
Is she going to be with the Viking Raiders somehow?
That could be kind of cool.
I almost called them War Raiders. Sorry.
Whatever.
But no, there's
as
a lot
as you didn't call them the Oakland Raiders.
Wow. But I think Raw is another person I wanted to mention too. Sheldon Benjamin getting a lot of love. Man, I hope to God he comes up with, you know, or he might be a part of another tag team that challenges for the title. He
that
needs
could be
something because
cool.
he's great to
he's
watch.
Still so good.
He is. He's not no Buddy Murphy, but he's...
Dude, the secret's out, right? How could people not have been on that? We were on that bandwagon forever ago.
I'm telling you.
We saw him live and we knew.
The best kept secret... Did you see the Instagram he posted?
With the face paint?
Yeah.
Joker? I sent that to you.
Oh, did you send that to me?
Okay,
yeah.
And I said, secret's out.
Secret's out, for sure. Let's talk about the worst kept secret of Monday Night Raw is... This past week, at least, is the Firefly Funhouse burning down.
Yeah.
Seth Rollins, God love him. But, man, he's really putting on a terrible showing right now.
Yeah.
I really am not enjoying Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins' hat because I like Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
But what they're making him go through right now with...
He looks foolish. He looks unintelligent and kind of stupid.
Not just that, but... Nobody wants to see the Fiend or anything die. They just want to grow and be better and keep going. Just don't mess with it.
Yeah.
So when it comes to
promotional consideration paid for by the following.
We'll talk about that in a minute. The Firefly Funhouse burning down. What's next? You burned down Sister Abigail's thing. We saw that. It was terrible for Randy Orton. Now you're doing this to Seth Rollins. Have not you learned?
Well, I think there is a shock factor about it because you kind of look like, wow, somebody was actually able to infiltrate the Firefly Funhouse, which I didn't think was an actual place.
Right,
I thought it was just in his head.
Right.
And that's been my understanding this whole time.
Didn't Bray Wyatt tweet something out like, how did you find us?
Yeah. Exactly. So it's like, unless this is some sort of Freddy Krueger, Seth Rollins can get into your dreams kind of thing. I don't know, man.
And if they're going to go that far,
stop it.
Yeah, it's going to be rough.
Yeah.
When it comes to the Firefly Funhouse, I've enjoyed everything until this last pay-per-view. I think they make him look like a monster. Yes, but you just basically took away all the showmanship of wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, you can't just curb stomp a guy or stomp a
eight
guy.
Eight times and he still stands up.
It doesn't work for the storytelling.
Yeah.
I don't know. But it'll be interesting to see because he is on SmackDown tonight where this goes. I'm pumped to see where it goes.
Yeah.
I love to see that the Firefly Funhouse obviously is the biggest thing going because it's on the beginning. They tease it.
Yeah.
They tease it.
And then, boom, and then they wraps finally up get the it show. To
you. Yeah.
And also, Chalkline, I don't know if you saw on Instagram if I sent this to you
or not.
They're releasing the Fiend jacket
with
a custom zip up hood that goes over your face to reveal the mask.
Am I too old to say that's dope?
No way, dude. That thing is hella dope. I'd rock it.
Hey, Wednesday Night Battles, dude.
Wednesday Night Battles. Well, before we jump into that, let's not jump over my NWA. Tuesdays.
Well, Tuesdays. What does it come out on Tuesdays?
Yeah, Tuesdays is 6:05 Eastern.
Oh, let's talk about that, dude.
Yeah, dude. NWA had their second week of their 1-hour television program called Power, and the show opens up with an appearance.
Go ahead.
From Aaron Stevens, who you may recognize as the WWE cult hero, Damian Sandow, aka Mizdow.
Mizdow. It's not NWA Power, it's NWA Power.
Because three R's are better than one.
RRR.
Yeah. So he essentially comes out, he does like an interview, and he's telling the guy, he's like, look, you know, I'm a big time actor now. I don't want anybody in here to make eye contact. That means you with the mic, you with the camera, any of these fans.
Did you get the sense of all these promos throughout NWA Power that they're just trying to be normal people?
And they were winging it.
But they're not like, hey, I'm going to tell you, brother.
Right.
It's like, hey, guys, how's it going?
Yeah.
It's very calm and understated.
There's still like showmanship to it.
But they're feeling out their characters as well. While they're on, you know, like he was very nice.
Yeah.
Pleasant to talk to until he's like, I just don't want eye contact.
And then it was like, wait a minute. You're kind of being a dink.
What?
Yeah. So I thought that was cool. It was kind of neat to see him. Our first match, we have Trevor Murdoch, who you will probably recognize from the Ruthless Aggression era. He was part of a tag team. Who was it, Lance Cade?
Yeah, he was a big dude. He's actually bigger now than he was.
Oh, he certainly is.
And I heard through Jim Cornette during the show, he is 15 times, he said it, the part of the Murdoch lineage.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
And he actually gave up professional wrestling for a while because there was no real men that could challenge him to an actual fight.
But, you know, he was trained by Harley Race.
Oh, yeah.
Looks like Harley Race. He's one of these guys. But the thing, he came back after that match and shook the guy's hand.
Yeah.
I was like,
I got it. It just wasn't my day, kid.
Yeah. And see, there's a lot of, like, sportsmanship going on.
I'm
kind of like,
you want pettiness.
I want him to go shake his hand and then smack him in the
spit
face.
In his, yeah, yeah, no, I get it. I thought it was
spit
cool.
In his face.
Well, that's Trevor rude. Murdoch took on Ricky Starks, not related to Tony Starks. And it was essentially the older, you know, rugged veteran versus the young, sexy baby face. And he ultimately beat him with the crucifix. And like you said, they did the whole handshake at the end. And what I thought was cool about Starks, this is my first time that I had ever seen him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's kind of getting into his promo there with the interview guy. And he goes, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of beautiful left over after God made me.
Right.
And I thought that was a really cool line.
Yeah, it's but the things I like about NWA Power, and I don't want to step over what you're doing here, but when it comes to like the announcer, we've talked about this off the air. He's not an announcer.
No, he's a broadcast journalist.
He's a very, very astute journalist. He's got integrity about him.
Yeah.
I think they're...
He's won awards.
But they're making things out of nothing when it comes to the simplest things.
Yeah.
These guys, they're two guys in the ring. They're fighting. A back body drop means something.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, it's old.
It's not just moves for the sake of doing moves, which gets so annoying sometimes.
You're not seeing people fly out of the ring, which is fun to watch. Buddy Murphy's the best at it.
Yeah, but it seems like every match on Dynamite or NXT or SmackDown, whatever, somebody's doing a suicide dive through the middle rope, but it drives me nuts.
It's very, very Ric Flair, TBS, where you are to be the man, you got to beat the man.
Yeah.
And you could do it with a figure four and maybe do two body slams in between there.
Right.
But it's all really simple, but it's so appetizing to the wrestling fans, to me at least.
Yeah. Well, what I like about it ultimately is you're trying to win the match at every cost. You're not just doing, you know, superplexes from the top rope for the sake of doing one.
Right.
Next up on Power, we have Colt Boom Boom Cabana, fresh off a settled lawsuit with his former best friend CM Punk, but that's another story for another day. And he is in tag team action with his mystery partner, Mr.
Kennedy?
Anderson.
No, it's not Mr. Anderson. It's Mr. Anderson. I like that it was so
Overmodulated
because it's so small town.
Yeah.
It's so local feel.
Yep. And ultimately, those guys, they had a little good interview. It was really funny. Colt always has some funny stuff. And I don't mind some like comic relief here and there. But when they got in the ring, they picked up the win over Jordan Kingsley and Sal Renaro.
Who?
Jordan Kingsley and Sal Renaro.
Nobody remembers that. But what they do remember from NWA Power is
Tony Falk's waffles and tire irons. And I think
promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Pause that real quick.
Yeah.
So I don't know why Moose and I love these stupid little things like this. But we have this queued up. If you haven't seen Power, I recommend you go watch it. It is good wrestling, and we'll get into the rest of the show right after this commercial that knocked me out of my chair.
It's so old school. It's so small town feel. It's Tony Atlas's, you know, wrestling university and stuff like that.
Promotional consideration paid for while I'm hauling.
And usually when you're watching local wrestling, it's nothing but used car dealers, video game stores,
terrible
and stuff like
graphics.
That. Terrible. And this lived up to the hype.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Tony Falk from Paducah, Kentucky. I've been in the wrestling business for over 40 years.
How about those lasers, huh? And it's not wrestling. It's got like these old school, like digital clock graphics that say wrestling every time. And it's got him with pictures of old school wrestlers.
You may know me. I'm the one that taught Shawn Michaels how to speak Kizarni.
Speak Kizarni.
Oh, yeah, Kizarni.
A person who tries to sell you sand in the desert.
Yep, that's
the secret language with a lot of Z's.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
so back in the day when I used to travel down the road in my old Delta 88 Oldsmobile,
that's a long
time
ago.
I became fond of two things, waffles and tire irons.
Okay, Who doesn't?
Hold on. Why is there a store that will sell you breakfast but then turn around and sell you a tire iron?
Well, I mean, maybe they use the tire irons. We got to listen to the rest of it here.
So that's why I decided to open my own store. Tony Falk, waffles, and tire
iron. How many times have you been to Waffle House and you wish you had a tire iron to beat someone's butt?
You know what? That's a good point.
Yeah. After three.
We paint all of our tire irons solid gold.
Oh, did you get that? Paints them.
Solid gold.
They're not. They're painted solid gold.
Wait, where did he say he was from? Paducah, Kentucky?
Paducah's beautiful, dude.
I love that.
Capital of the world.
Waffles offer only the best of organic and gluten-free ingredients.
What you're missing listening to this is the organic, gluten-free, and so tasty thing over
the
his
graphics.
Face. But he's reading this and looking down and reading this as he's talking.
It's so just, ugh.
So when you're in Paducah, stop by, tell Uncle Tony sent you.
I will. It's got a picture of him at the
promotional
end.
Consideration.
Whoop, there we go.
Paid for him on the following.
Tony Falk.
I thought that was great. We won't do the other one, but it was the same as in the first week. It was what's his name's wrestling school.
So it was in the second one too. Tony Atlas's wrestling university.
No,
you
not,
want to be rich?
Not Atlas. It was a different guy.
No, not Tony Atlas. Tony. I don't know. He looked like Ric Flair, but Ric Flair back in the prime without all the muscle.
It was just so good. I just love that stuff.
Coming to wrestling university.
Yeah. And then from there, we have a NWA women's division match. This is for the Women's World Championship.
I was impressed.
Actually, I don't think it wasn't for the title. Yeah, it was Allison Kay She makes short work of challenger Ashley Vox.
That finisher, though.
A super cool looking finisher. And I liked how she was looking for it the whole match, which is the point. To get the win and get out of there, right?
Right.
It was a hard effort by Vox, but the champion retains. And I would dig it. And I thought it was cool that Allison Kay has a picture of her face right dead center of her title belt.
Yeah, I like it. They've released a picture of that. And it looks really, really super cool.
Especially for a bad guy, right?
Yeah, look. I mean.
Yeah.
That's the one you're talking about.
Yep.
Super
I like
cool.
that. And of course, throughout this, they're teasing an exclusive sit-down interview, right, with Nick Aldis, Camille, and broadcast journalist Joe Galli.
Who got to the bottom of it pretty much, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Camille, though, didn't have anything to say. She didn't want to talk.
I like how she just kind of tapped the microphone. And he's like, yeah, it works. And she's just like, meh. Whatever.
Yeah. So finally, our main event is a tag team match between the Wild Cards, who I think is kind of a cool team.
Mm-hmm.
And they take on Eddie Kingston and Homicide. And golly, are these guys from New York or what?
Yes.
It was just overwhelming. And this was set up on last week's show. And it kind of ends before it can really get good with interference from the Dawsons. And I think this might be setting up some sort of triple threat action. My final note of the show was, this was good old-fashioned wrestling. It was simple stories. It was easy to watch. And I'll be tuning again next week at 6:05 Eastern.
I like it, too. Like I said before, it's so cool that body slams are a big deal.
Yeah.
Back body drops, you know. There's really not a lot of off-the-top rope type action. It's more a show. It's more psychology. It's more simple.
Yeah.
It's just easy to
consume.
To consume. So I freaking love it.
Yeah, it's definitely a good breath of fresh air sandwiched right in between, you know, Monday Night Raw and then obviously the Wednesday Night Wars, which we're going to jump into right now.
Yeah, if you haven't consumed enough wrestling, there's still more to talk about with, you know, AEW going on and NXT, which, you know, by and large, both shows are great.
Yep.
Right now, there's not a bad show. Yeah, AEW is getting the ratings because they're the newest and freshest thing in town, and they do some weird stuff, you know. But when you have a main event with Chris Jericho and Darby Allin, not going to get so many tune-ins.
Yeah.
Darby Allin's interesting. I like the guy, but I think he needs to, you know, stick with what he's doing.
Yeah.
Jericho needs to be hitting these major players, which it turned out to be.
And it's like, why did Jericho need help to beat this scrawny punk?
Exactly. Not just that, but
come on, dude.
We did get to see finally, which I thought this would be something as soon as the bubbly came out as, you know, like this huge, you know, meme to, you know, hashtag from everywhere. I thought every single time you saw Chris Jericho in a ring, he would be cracking open the bubbly, you know, to celebrate and you're welcome, everybody.
Right.
But it finally brought that out. I was pretty impressed with that.
Well, you think
that
about it. Just look at a couple of the headlines from Dynamite, right? You got Bubbly. You got a guy using, he rides a skateboard to the ring, essentially. Right. You also have,
which Jericho got on.
Yeah. You have barbed wire baseball bats and barbed wire brooms, which I thought was kind of just, that's not really my cop.
Right. Now, to give them credit, watching, and I watched a lot of AEW Dynamite this week. The promos, the hype packages.
Yeah, especially the one with Cody.
Cody and the...
how he's obsessed with getting back the title.
Yeah, I think that was really making me invested.
Not getting back, but getting the title.
Yeah, it's really making me invested in the product. But WWE turns around, does the same thing when you got Tommaso Ciampa coming out.
Yeah.
With crutches.
Yeah.
Does an awesome match, you know. And it wasn't, you know, overcomplicated. It was quick. He's back on track and he's looking for Goldie.
Yeah.
You know,
and what I like is Io Shira, calling out Rhea Ripley, which I was like, whoa, hold on there, sweetheart. This is a mountain you don't want to climb right now. Cause how impressive is Rhea Ripley?
She's massive,
dude.
She is massive.
She'll fold you into a pretzel.
Yeah. There's a lot of things with NXT that, I don't know. NXT is trying to be NWA power in some points when it comes to, you know, Sale University being very, very, you know,
small, local, dark
feel. But they have humongous performers.
And the talent is unbelievable. I would legitimately say that NXT, their talent as far as, you know, being in-ring competitors and being on the mic, I think their overall pool is better than what Dynamite can offer.
Right. Well, and you've got guys that still have a name to them coming back, like Finn Balor. You've got Killian Dane. You've got these other players, and I don't think they're done yet. I think that there's going to be at least one more.
As long as we don't get the men at work again. Breezango coming out, and they're... Dude, I don't know.
Those guys rule, man. I love the Fashion Police.
It wasn't for me that time.
But it fits. It fits with NXT.
No, it does. Yeah,
it totally fits, and it's just like waffles and tire irons. I mean, it totally fits with NXT.
Yeah,
and I hope that they bring that back or some sort of extension from that.
Right.
But I wouldn't be surprised, and I know there's a lot of rumbling, so I'm not breaking any news on this. I wouldn't be surprised if Cesaro ends up at NXT. He is perfect for NXT. And I think that there's no looking down at NXT anymore.
No.
You have a major deal.
Yep.
You're getting major ratings now that you hadn't before. New money is coming in. So people are going to want to go to that product.
Yeah.
Especially if there's no room for them on Raw and SmackDown.
I wanted to make a point and then follow that up with a question. The point is... NXT's women wrestling far outweighed what AEW offered us on Wednesday night with Rio taking on the dentist. And she's a real dentist, by the way.
Right. And to me, that match, I love her that she's the lockjaw finisher. I love that. And then she puts the claw in it.
Yeah.
I love that. I thought it's fantastic. But to me...
You can't have a 98-pound champion.
I don't think so. And I think that Rio is just this... I don't know why she's popular.
I don't either.
I don't understand that word. Why she's popular at all. I'm not a fan. I don't. There's two moves that she does, and that's it.
I'd rather see Britt Baker as the champion, though she can be underwhelming at times. She has that total star potential,
sure,
just like Adam Page does.
But they
don't necessarily do it for you just yet.
I think that's their whole roster when it comes to they have star potential.
Yeah,
they still haven't broke it out. And I was thinking about watching this match, just in particular. Let's just talk about that one because it was a little rough around the edges.
Yeah,
but I was thinking that's why they do house shows with WWE is to get some of that rust off or find new things to do. They were trying to find each other in the ring.
Right.
To get some of these moves.
To work on that chemistry, so to speak, right?
And you just don't get that automatically.
Yeah.
So to me...
So does AEW not run live events?
I don't think... I think the only live events that they run
just
right
TV,
now
right?
is
and
TV,
right? And pay-per-view?
Because they're coming to Nashville on November 3rd?
Yeah, something like that.
Maybe it's the 16th. I can't remember.
No, you're thinking December 3rd is Raw.
December 3rd is Raw.
Yep.
Yeah, and we're going to be there. But I think it's November 16th or something.
So getting back on track right quick, though, my follow-up question to that statement was there too many women's wrestling matches on NXT that night?
No, I don't think so because, I mean, you've got to break out new stars, and you're going to do that. I don't think that they're as light as in women's stars as... AEW. I think women is where they're really stronger than AEW.
Yeah, like showcase it. And they haven't even brought over Toni Storm yet.
No, not just that. And that's coming.
Oh, yeah.
Plus...
If you bring over Toni Storm, how action-packed is that women's NXT division going to be? You have Rhea Ripley, who I think could probably defeat Brock Lesnar on an off day. You got Bianca Belair. I don't understand the EST thing, but I think she's exceptional, and I love her hair whip. You got Iro Shira, who's incredible. And then, of course, you have your champion, the Queen of Hearts, Shayna Baszler.
Plus, Iro
Queen Shira. Of Spades, excuse me.
Who's the other one? Caden Carter. You got some other ones.
Tegan Knox just came back from injury.
Right. And
it's crazy.
She's got two new bionic knees.
Yeah, and everyone has like a cool story going on, man. Like, it's really exciting stuff.
Yeah, I think with both products, you know, like I said, AEW is getting the nod because they're new and
it's like the new restaurant that opens up down the street.
But they're already getting injuries because I think this is, again, they're just not used to, you know, when you want to give a product, if you pull back the curtain a little bit for AEW compared to WWE, WWE is out most of the year doing things. AEW doesn't want their wrestlers wrestling all the time. They want to, save them. But in fact, sometimes that does hurt you because you've got Luchasaurus is now out. Yeah. Now you've got part of SCU gone. Daniels is gone.
Yep.
He's injured. So I think that you're going to see that with was the people there, that aren't there
all
the time.
Was there an abundance of tag team wrestling on Dynamite? It seemed like even outside of the tournament that they're doing, and I love tag team tournaments.
Right.
I love tournaments really just themselves. It seemed like there were so many tag team matches.
I think it's for show factor because you got to think the last tag team match of the night was Hangman Page, Kenny Omega, Pac, and John Moxley.
Yeah, Moxley doesn't play well with anybody.
But that was fun to watch. It really was. It was a lot funner than the main event.
Yeah.
But you had four stars. I mean, legitimately three stars. But if you aren't a fan of Hangman Page, I don't know why. This guy's really awesome.
Yep.
But yeah, so the Wednesday Night Wars, I think they're living up to the hype.
Week three right now. I mean,
yeah, I'm not worried about ratings.
I still get excited when I come into work Wednesday and I'm like, oh my God, that's right. I have two wrestling programs to watch tonight.
Right.
And it's which one am I going to tune into first? My loyalty lies with NXT, but I'm super curious about what Dynamite has to offer. And that's just exciting for me. I love having that option.
Yeah, it's overwhelming too. We're drinking from the fire hose on this stuff.
Absolutely.
And we got another show to watch tonight. We've got WWE SmackDown on Fox. Is 205 Live just done?
I think 205 Live is just part of NXT. I don't know.
But do you think they're going to stop that show on the network?
Well, they're still doing it after SmackDown.
I don't know if it's going to last after Survivor Series.
I think they should just repackage the Cruiserweight title as the NXT Cruiserweight Champion.
Yeah, I think
what's wrong with that?
There's, I don't think there's anything wrong
with
that.
They have a good champion.
Plus, the show, the matches that you see are entertaining. If you put it in front of the NXT crowd, they're going to appreciate it.
Yeah.
You know, and you're going to have a good feel for it. But tonight we got a 6-pack challenge. Crown the new number one contender for the SmackDown Women's Championship against Bayley. We got Carmella, Lacey Evans.
Screw all of you.
Sonya Deville, Mandy Rose, Dana Brooke, and Nikki Cross.
Wow.
Who wins this tonight?
Hold on. Let me see that list again here.
You've got, here you go.
Read this off. All right, so we have...
You got Carmella.
All right, Mella is money.
Lacey Evans.
The Southern Belle.
Sonya Deville.
Mandy Rose, Dana Brooke, and Nikki Cross. So let's see.
Dana Brooke.
You're going to call Dana Brooke?
No, I'm not going to call Dana Brooke just yet.
You know who I'm going with?
Who are you going with?
Carmella.
I think you're right.
Mella is money.
I think you're right, but what makes a more entertaining match? Nikki Cross and Bayley? Both a little crazy. Mm-hmm. Lacey Evans and Bayley?
I mean, the obvious. Okay, hold on here. Hold on, it's getting hot.
You've already had this once before, though. We've had a Lacey Evans and Bayley match before.
Yeah, but you can't. Yeah, I don't know. I can't sign off on seeing that right now.
So you're gonna go with Carmella?
I'm going with Mella.
I think that's the right choice. I do. It's either Mandy Rose, Carmella, or Lacey Evans. I can't see the
other.
You gotta
think Mella's made the most of this whole 24/7 title. Like, she's been one of the more like entertaining things to watch
but
each
dude,
week,
with the
kind
draft,
of making something out of nothing.
But with the draft, we got that team broke up.
Yeah.
So, I mean, no more her and R-Truth ever.
And it's time for a new direction for them both.
EC3. Give EC3 that title. We're going to have some entertaining content from that guy. He is hilarious.
We need Dixie for anyone to care about EC3.
No, we don't. No.
I think so.
No, we don't. Bayley's also going to be on Miz TV tonight.
Damn right she is.
We got Rudolph.
And she's going to say, screw all of you.
You think so?
Yep.
Okay.
It's going to be her new shirt.
Let's see here. 8-man tag team match with the New Day. Let's see here. WWE has also announced an 8-man tag team match with the New Day. Heavy Machinery versus Dolph Ziggler, Robert Roode, and SmackDown Tag Team Champions, The Revival.
Golly.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that should be fun. Who comes out of that and what gets to the victor?
We're definitely going to get a couple picture-in-picture commercial breaks during this one.
It says tonight SmackDown's going to open with Roman Reigns and the WWE Intercontinental Champion Shinsuke Nakamura.
Oh, damn.
With the title on the line.
What?
Does he win it?
Let's go. Heck yeah.
I don't know. Roman, I don't know. Shinsuke, you know, and I didn't hear this much about the draft. Did Shinsuke have, you know, his partner in crime there now?
Yeah, absolutely. He's his manager. He's legally, he's contractually obligated to be there. Okay. Sami Zayn will find a way.
I don't know. It should be an interesting show tonight. I don't see a place where Ronda Rousey's going to show up, but I know it's coming.
Yeah, was she undraftable?
I don't know, but...
Because she's not actually on the current roster.
Here's my thing. I know she's coming to SmackDown because WWE has already put this women's title in play.
Right.
Because not only do you have Charlotte on...
Well, let's remember, Raw, Ronda Rousey kind of left as a heel, though. When she comes back, I think it'll depend on the reaction she gets, which way she goes. I
think she shows off that, you know, ripped off finger.
That could be cool.
Points it at everybody.
Yeah.
Especially if they sewed it back like crooked.
How about the double birds from Moxley on Dynamite? Not blurred out or nothing.
That's Dynamite, though.
Let's go.
They dropped the S-bomb.
Yeah.
The B-bomb.
I couldn't believe that.
We might be dropping some other bombs here.
Yeah, who Lashley's knows? Dropping a couple bombs. I'll tell you what.
I did earlier. We had to edit it out. So, now, it's a lot of fun, dude. There's so much going on. It's hard to take it all in, but
yeah.
We've got the big crown jewel coming up. Usually, yes. We kind of, on these Saudi Arabia shows, we get to watch them live.
Yeah, we get right in here in the studio.
It's not going to happen this time.
That's all right.
I've actually got to work, but we've already got...
Work?
I've got to work. I've got to work off-site. But we do have Seth Rollins leaving Team Hogan for just Rusev and Ricochet.
Yeah, what's
going on?
And we
have Team Flair with Randy Orton, King Corbin, Shinsuke, Bobby Lashley, and one not determined.
Wasn't Ric Flair hurt recently?
Ric Flair's been in the hospital off and on for the last 2 years.
You're right.
But
I don't know if he's going to be able to make the trip.
Does Hogan and Ric Flair get in the ring together and maybe...
One more match, brother.
I mean, does
if I have to hear that damn song one more time?
Does Hogan hit him with the leg drop and he does the Flair flop or what?
I'm worried if Hogan drops another leg, he'll never stand up again.
Yeah, we got we totally forgot about the Brock Lesnar, Kane Velasquez stuff that's kind of went by the wayside.
Yeah, it's a little underwhelming just because I think MMA purists know how bad of a man Kane is, but when you bring him into the WWE audience, they don't really know who he is, and he looks the way he does. It's kind of like, why is Brock scared of this guy? He looks kind of like he looks kind of soft.
Here's another thing that might lead you to believe that Cesaro is going to NXT, and he might already be there, and I didn't see the news. But Cesaro is going against Mansoor, which is, I believe, the guy that won the Battle Royal last time.
Right, yeah.
So, and he's a hometown crowd favorite, obviously.
Yep.
And now he's currently performing under the NXT brand. So
that's cool.
That's one match that's set up. We've got the New Day versus the Viking Raiders versus Heavy Machinery versus Lucha House Party.
Okay.
Versus Zack Ryder and Kurt Hawkins versus the Revival versus
of course
the
OC, they're in the match because they're one of the ones that would actually make the trip.
Versus Dolph Ziggler, Robert Roode versus the B Team.
Still here.
9-team tag team turmoil match.
Let's just fit everybody on the
show. For the WWE World Cup. What is a World Cup?
Wait, excuse me?
Yes, this is right here in black and white.
The World Cup.
Nine team tag team turmoil match.
That's 18 people.
That's 18 people for the WWE World Cup. Now, is it turmoil where one gets pinned, a new team comes
in? Gauntlet style, or maybe? Is it everybody hanging out at the ringside? I don't know.
It says,
what do they win, like a trophy?
Let's see here. Singles melee match, adapted teams, for example, hardcore teams. You know, I don't know what melee means. I don't know what it means.
You know what it's going to be? It's going to be pandemonium.
It's going to be chaos.
Yeah.
Falls Count Anywhere match for the WWE Universal Champion with Seth Rollins and The Fiend.
Okay.
I'm not looking forward to that.
Yeah, I mean...
Are they going to give The Fiend the belt? Yes or no?
No, I'm not with this. It's like it's a different world. But I do think Seth and I think Bray can make up for the debacle ending that they had at Hell in the Cell with this match.
But are they going to do it at Crown Jewel? I almost called it Crown Royal again.
As Xbox... Well, it is Friday. As Xbox says, how the hell did you get disqualified in a Hell in a Cell match?
It's happened. Not once, but like three times.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know. I'm underwhelmed. I don't know how they're going to present this. I hope just The Fiend just comes out and destroys him and then gets disqualified somehow.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it. Not, you know,
they're gonna
hit him in the head with a sledgehammer.
No disqualification match.
Yeah, but that's coming up on the 31st. Yeah. We're sitting at the 20th or the 18th.
Something like that.
So we'll be doing our predictions in a couple of weeks, so we don't have to worry about that. We got another week of wrestling to consume.
Yeah, let me just say before we put a bow on this bad boy, episode 52.
1 year's worth of episodes.
Officially, it took us a little bit over a year because of vacations and stuff, but
right.
That's kind of, I don't know, man. I'm kind of proud of that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
There's like some weeks, as I'm sure it is for you, where it's like, man, on top of everything happening at work, I got all this wrestling to watch. I got all this prep to do.
Sure.
It's just the idea of it. But when we actually get in here and we get talking and we get working things out with what's happening, it's always a blast, man. 52 weeks and counting.
And it wouldn't be 52 weeks without you carrying the show. So
My back is a little sore.
Yeah.
But you are the champ.
I'm not only the champ, but I am the holder still. If you're just tuning in for the first time, I am still the holder of the briefcase.
I gotta get that.
Pro Wrestling Lifers Money in the Bank briefcase.
Yeah.
I've got the briefcase and I could cash in it anytime I lose my belt.
And we'll be putting the title on the line at Crown Royal.
Crown Royal or Jewel. We'll also put it on the line for Survivor Series, Full Gear.
Yep.
Bunch of other things that are coming up. Yeah, so man. Probably not Starcade. No.
Yeah, we don't know what that's going to be like.
It'll be a full night of matches, but you'll only see like four of them on the network.
Yeah, we'll see an hour of it condensed into highlights.
All right. Well, we gotta put our thinking caps on because we gotta start speculating Crown Jewel.
Yeah.
A couple weeks we'll have those predictions.
Yep.
Which will be way off.
Yeah. Well, hopefully for you, not for me. I want that title back.
Good luck.
I still haven't put on my Brock plates that I got from my birthday on.
Oh, dude, you need to bring those in.
I think so. Yeah.
You need to bring those in.
Well, for Moose, I'm JR. This has been Pro Wrestling Lifers. We'll catch you next week for season 2.
Oh, yeah. Our premiere for season 2.
Yes. And we're all about the premieres.
Rip them. You going to do a draft, too?
Yeah, we're going to draft you and I.